I wonder if you've ever been to a gym. Those of you who know me may be surprised to know that I have been to a gym quite a few times, really, but they probably wouldn't be surprised to know as well that I haven't been for quite a while. But even if you've never been to a gym, I'm sure you know what happens there, don't you? People repeatedly lift weights, and so their muscles grow and become stronger. They gain strength. And then, of course, they go on and lift even heavier weights. So, why do people join a gym? Well, it's because they want to become stronger or fitter or thinner or just generally healthier. They want to live a better, healthier life. They accept that in order to gain a better, healthier life, they need to endure the pain, in the gym. I think it was Jane Fonda in her 1980s exercise videos, if you remember Jane Fonda or even videos. I think she coined the phrase, the bodybuilder's favourite phrase, possibly, no pain, no gain. Now, if you've been listening in to the sermons over the last few weeks, you can't fail to have noticed that there's a sort of a thread running through the book of 1 Peter. Si, in particular, has pointed out to us a couple of times. It is this: suffering now, glory later. Or, in the words of Jane Fonda, no pain, no gain. Now, the Apostle Peter started telling us about this in the first few verses of his letter. If you've got your Bible open still, turn back to chapter 1. Turn back a few pages and have a look. It's in verse 4, and he says this, that we have a glorious inheritance awaiting us in the future, which he says is a great reason to rejoice. But then comes verse 6. It says, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. So, suffering now, glory later, or no pain, no gain. And in chapter 2, we saw that Jesus is the supreme example of this. He suffered and was rejected throughout his ministry, but now he's glorified. Peter uses what is maybe one of his favourite verses from the Psalms. It's this: the stone the builders rejected became the most important stone in the building, the cornerstone. In other words, suffering now, glory later. So by the time we get to today's verses, we shouldn't be surprised to discover that suffering is a normal part of Christian life. And therefore, Peter says in verse 12, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Now, in this talk, I want to take you through this passage and look at seven reasons Peter says we shouldn't or mustn't be surprised. Number one, verse 12, don't be surprised because it's a test. Don't be surprised, it's a test. Now, tests are something we're all familiar with. We're familiar with them in life right from our school days, aren't we? In fact, one of my sons has started to do his GCSE mock exams this week. And around our church building and many other buildings, you see that there are fire extinguishers. Now, we hope we'll never have to use those fire extinguishers, but every year they get tested. Often that's just a visual test, but after so many years, they have to undergo a full discharge test as if they're being used in an actual fire. They have to undergo their own sort of fiery ordeal, if you like. Now, you'd notice Peter calls Christian suffering a fiery ordeal. And maybe Peter has in mind here the refining of precious metals. Because gold refining has been much the same for thousands of years. The metal is heated up to over 1,000 degrees, And as it melts, the impurities and the dross come to the surface and can be skimmed off, leaving pure gold behind. And despite all the difficulties and pain they bring, it's true that times of suffering refine us like gold. We all know, I'm sure we'll all admit, that it's during difficult times that our prayers become more frequent and more earnest. It's when we reach the end of our own resources that we tend to reach out for God. God hates sin and pride and self-reliance, so he uses fiery ordeals to chip away at them in those he loves. He puts us through the fire until he can see his Son in us. He puts us through the fire until he can see his Son in us. He also uses our response to trials and fiery ordeals as a witness to others. Because I think Peter possibly also has in mind here the story of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who you remember in the book of Daniel. They loved God, and they loved God and only worshipped God. So when the king erected a statue and commanded that everyone bow down and worship it, they refused. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace, literally a fiery ordeal. But they survived. And not only did they survive, but while they were there walking in the furnace, the king saw a fourth person walking with them. And when he saw this, he was brought to realise that there is only one true God. Of course, now we can see when we read this account that that fourth person walking with them was Christ. That was Christ walking with them in the furnace. So that leads us to the second reason we shouldn't be surprised. Verse 13, take a look at it. I've summarised that as, don't be surprised, rejoice. Now, suffering and rejoicing in the same verse. Has Peter lost his mind? Is he crazy? Well, not if we realise that the key word here is participation. We know Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, don't we? But it's actually in suffering with Christ that we participate with him, Peter says. Where we go, he goes. He walks with us in the furnace. He walks with us in the fiery ordeals. We often say, don't we, that we are Christ's hands and feet here on earth. But we need to remember that men pierced Christ's hands and his feet, and they will want to cause us harm as well. And yet, Peter says, keep on rejoicing in your suffering now, so that your joy when Jesus returns will be greater. Now, I must admit that for those of us not yet called to suffer greatly, and that's probably the majority of us in the West, for those of us not yet called to suffer greatly, this is something of a mystery to us. But it follows the pattern that we've been learning, doesn't it? Suffering now, glory later. Here's the third reason we shouldn't be surprised. Don't be surprised, verse 14, because you are blessed. Now, how can suffering be a blessing? Well, here's two reasons. Firstly, it's a blessing because we are counted worthy to suffer. Now, saying consider yourself blessed is not empty words from Peter, because he actually had personal experience of this. In Acts chapter 5, the apostles are taken in for questioning by the authorities, and Peter speaks boldly to them about Jesus. So they are then threatened, they're beaten, and then they're finally released. Now you would think that would have put Peter off. It would have made him perhaps lie low. But this is what it says in Acts chapter 5, verse 41. It says, they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonour for the name. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonour for the name. Now, believe it or not, it is a privilege to suffer for the name of Christ. And this is not just a theoretical possibility in our country anymore, is it? Just this week, the Christian Institute reported that yet another street preacher had been harassed and accused of hate crimes by the police. And a Christian busker, a young lady who was singing Christian songs outside her church, was also accosted by the police and told that she couldn't do that. Suffering under governments is a real experience for many Christians around the world already. That blessing may come to us in the future. And if not to us, then our children. And we need to be ready. We need not to be surprised. And we need to help our children not to be surprised too. Here's the second reason, though, why we're blessed. When we suffer, God's Spirit, the Spirit of glory, Peter calls him in that verse, rests on us. When Jesus was on earth, what was the point of his, what time was his greatest glory? When was he glorified to the greatest extent? Well, it was when he took up his place on the cross and he suffered for our sins. That cross was in effect his throne on earth, and he was willing to sit on that throne to take up our place on the cross and suffer. That was the point. He was most glorified. The Spirit of God then rested on him at that time. The same Spirit, the Spirit of glory, rested on him. And the same Spirit will rest on us when we suffer along with Christ. But let me say that having this kind of attitude of rejoicing in suffering and seeing it as a blessing will only be our experience if the driving passion of our life is Christ-likeness. Can you see the difference between Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, the apostles, and our natural tendencies? We thank God when we don't suffer, don't we? They thanked God when they did. Why? Well, because in suffering, they realised they were becoming more like Christ. And so they rejoice when they join him in the fire. Reason number four why we shouldn't be surprised. Don't be surprised and suffer, verse 15. Don't be surprised and suffer for the wrong reasons. Don't be surprised and suffer for the wrong reasons. It says, don't suffer as a murderer, a thief, a criminal, or a meddler. Curious list this, and I don't think anyone's quite certain why Peter puts these together. Perhaps the first three are a bit more obvious. But meddler? Or as some versions put it, busybody? How did that make it onto this list? Well, my take on it is this. Firstly, not all suffering is Christian suffering. Don't do evil and then class the punishment as suffering for Christ. There are various kinds of things that we do that are not at all Christ-like and that can get us into trouble. Breaking the law, for example. Being lazy at work. Being angry and aggressive with someone, even if that's when we're talking over Bible or church issues. Criticising people unjustly. Don't be surprised if you suffer for these kinds of things because, frankly, you probably deserve it. You're not suffering with Christ. Now, secondly, don't respond to suffering with sin. Remember chapter 3, verse 9. Peter said to us, don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. So don't retaliate. Peter says, that we're less likely to be persecuted for doing good. If we go around doing evil, of course we might be persecuted. If we go around doing good, well, there's much less chance that people will persecute us. So we should do good. And thirdly, suffering is not in itself the goal of Christianity. Don't seek out suffering for its own sake. Don't prod the bear or poke the beehive, Peter is saying. Don't meddle in other people's affairs or be a busybody. Our job is not to seek out suffering, but to be faithful disciples of Christ. And at some point, we will be called to suffer for that. Here's reason number five why we shouldn't be surprised. Don't be surprised and ashamed of Christ's name. Now, the name Christian only appears in the Bible three times, and this is the third time it appears. And in those days, it wasn't a nice, respectable title. It was used as a term of abuse or ridicule. Much in the same way as we might call a follower of Margaret Thatcher a Thatcherite, if you were in opposition to that, or a follower of Tony Blair a Blairite, or of Jeremy Corbyn a Corbynista. Sort of a term of, say, of ridicule or abuse. But we are to wear the name of Christian with honour, not as a badge of religion, because religions have caused all sorts of problems in the past, but as a follower of the person of Jesus Christ, that is a Christian. And we should wear that name with honour and with pride. Well, here in the West, the name Christian, the title Christian, is still quite a respectable title. We are blessed in our particular parish that many families still want to have their children baptised. But increasingly, if you hold to the actual teachings of Jesus, then you will also be labelled as intolerant, a bigot, or even a deviant. None of that, however, must deter us from giving everyone who asks us a reason for our hope, and to do it with gentleness and respect. And it shouldn't prevent us from praising God that we bear the name of Christ, Christian. Reason number six, verses 17 and 18. Don't be surprised and therefore expect it to be easy. Now, a surprise attack is always the most effective kind of attack, isn't it? So just knowing that suffering is coming will help us to be better prepared. We have more chance of responding well if we're prepared. We have more chance of rejoicing in our suffering and feeling blessed if we expect to suffer for Christ in our lives. But even so, Peter acknowledges that it will be hard for those in Christ's household. But the outcome will be that we will be saved. Suffering now, glory later. Contrast that with the fate of the ungodly, who will also suffer in this life, but for them it will be worthless. If it's hard for Christians, Peter is saying, how much harder will it be for those who disobey God? Those who have, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. And that leads us to our final reason not to be surprised, reason 7, verse 19. Don't be surprised and therefore fear man. Here at the end of our passage, Peter carefully chooses the name he gives to God. He calls him faithful creator. Now, this is the only use of that title anywhere in the Bible. He's saying, when you suffer, fear the creator and not his creatures. Like Psalm 118, perhaps Peter was thinking of Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, as humans, we have a natural tendency to avoid pain. I had an operation a few weeks ago and I was offered two options for pain relief. I could have had a local anaesthetic and that would partly relieve the pain of the operation. Or I was offered a general anaesthetic where I'd be asleep throughout and would know nothing until it was all over. Well, you can guess which one I chose, can't you? Well, medical pain relief is one thing, but if in our Christian life we seek to avoid pain at all costs, then an authentic Christian life isn't possible. So Peter says that we are to commit ourselves every day into the hands that flung stars into space. After all, where else will we be safer? And he says, along with that, continue to do good. See, committing ourselves to God isn't an inactive thing. It's getting stuck in with whatever God has given us to do. Now, that might mean going to South America, Asia, Africa, or somewhere else to tell people about Jesus. Or it might mean serving in our local church. It might mean doing your job to the best of your ability, or it might mean caring for a parent, a partner, or a child. But take note, in the context of this passage, it does mean continuing to do good, continuing to get stuck in, even while we're suffering. No pain, no gain. So have you joined Jesus's gym? Have you been to the gym recently? Are you prepared to be strengthened and refined by trials? Are you ready to rejoice as you participate in the sufferings of Christ? Do you see the sufferings of Christ as a blessing because you're counted worthy of it? Or are you suffering for the wrong reasons? Perhaps because of your sin, or because you're a busybody, perhaps. Are you honoured to be called a Christian, even if you're also called a deviant? Are you expecting life to be easy, and are you surprised when persecution comes? Are you more afraid of man than you are of God, the Creator? In other words, is our driving passion to be like Christ, who suffered on our behalf? And therefore, are we willing to participate in that suffering? Now, I think these verses from Peter have come from his heart straight to us. And this is why I think that. Because there was once a time when a fiery ordeal came his way in the form of a young girl round a campfire who just asked him if he was a Christian. And we all know what happened, don't we? He was caught by surprise and he denied he knew Jesus three times. And so that's why I think this morning he says to us, verse 12, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you."